I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hello, everyone.
Holla, folks.
Holla. This is the first time we've actually recorded together in a while.
I know. I was looking at our calendar because you were gone, I was gone, and we had been a couple weeks.
And now you're a mother.
I'm a mother. And
she got the cutest puppy. Go to our Instagram and see photos of the puppy. It's ridiculously adorable.
He is like the best thing that ever happened to me.
You
are as well. He's runner up. Okay. And just, he looks like a Muppet, and he's going to weigh about 5 pounds, maybe. And he's 2.5 pounds right now. And he's auntie. Do you love him?
I thought I was the godmom.
You're the doggy godmother.
I'm full of disappointment.
No, you are, but you can't change his name to Winston if you are his doggy godmother.
Okay, I'll be technically the doggy godmother, and I will call him Legend by his name.
You can be like, what's up, Ledge?
Leggy McBeagleson.
Yeah, there you go.
Leggy McBeagleson, the cutest dog I know.
Oh, right, everyone, be sad.
This is an episode about sex, not just about puppies. And this is probably as close to being an actual parent as April will be, although she is kind of playing stepmom right now.
Stepmonster.
So you're a stepmonster. You're an awesome stepmom. Chip. Tell our listeners, we have a... Okay, first of all, this episode, by the way, how great is the title?
Oh.
How to Eat Pussy Like a Champ.
And how great was it actually recording with her?
She's
we
amazing.
Have had her before. She was great. We wanted her back because she has so much amazing information. She's a doctor, and the title is pretty epic.
Everyone wants to know, even if you don't like eating pussy, I want to know how to eat pussy like a champ, even though I don't eat pussy.
Yeah.
Maybe I do want to now.
And I feel like I was not a pussy eating champ before, and now I feel like I have some skills after recording this that would help me become a better pussy eater.
And you've eaten some pussy.
I have. Yeah. A couple of pussies. Speaking of pussy eating, more or less speaking of orgasms, we are on tour and we are teaching a class in the flesh in Grover Beach, California. If you don't know where Grover Beach is, it's Central California, beautiful area. We will be at Diamond Adult World in Grover Beach, June 28th. And we are teaching a really cool class, oral sex for everyone.
Yeah.
But it also includes some
orgasms.
Which
is perfect for this podcast.
It is, really. Oral sex 101.
Oh, yeah. Orgasms are definitely a part of that.
So if you want to get tickets, just you can go to diamondadult.com and get tickets there. It's basically, I think, $25. So check it out.
And they get a $20 gift card.
And you get a $20 gift card to spend on products or lube or toys or anything.
Come visit us.
See us.
Learn in person. Everyone, guess what? We have a really awesome testimonial that I'd like to read. We received this email the other day from someone who listened to our Satisfied Mama episode with Dana Myers. And I love this. So I have to read you this testimonial. We love testimonials from folks. We recommend you can email them or you can also write reviews about us on iTunes.
Please write us a review on iTunes, actually. We love them.
Yeah.
We have some
haters
that actually have been sending out the hate, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, and we will never please anyone.
Well, this is the thing.
Everyone.
We listen, we read them.
We do.
And our hearts get a little hurt when someone says, these girls are really annoying and make me want to jump off a bridge, but we realize that person's probably also just having a bad day and we're not their cup of tea. That's fine. What we did read was someone said that we were getting a little obnoxious with our promotions and our ads, and I actually did want to comment on that real quick.
Yeah.
We do this mostly for free. Most of the money that does come in from the people that actually pay us money goes to just growing our podcast. And you all get to listen to it for free. So here's the thing is that we do need to do these things. But yes, you are correct. We have been spending too much time on promoting some of the brands that are supporting our podcast. So we are listening. We're reading these reviews. We're taking the feedback. We're actually shortening some of the advertising that we do. And what we are going to do once a month is offer a podcast that is ad-free once a month. So now you're getting 4 to 5 podcasts a month. You also will get a 5th or 6th one that will have no ads too. So we are listening. We love your reviews.
And
we pay attention.
And to keep this free for you, we have to do this, y'all. Yeah. And we need to eat too. So please understand.
Yeah. Well, and podcasts have a little overhead. So
yeah, they do. We want better equipment so we can sound better.
Yeah, we're going to get new mics. Oh, I have an idea about that, but I won't put it on here right now.
Cool.
Okay. Testimonial. Your recent mama podcast was fabulous, all in caps. As a mom of a four-year-old, I resonated with a lot of what was said. Early postpartum was a scary drop in libido, zero, that I had never experienced before. Once I got the green light for resuming sex, I still didn't feel like it, and worse was I didn't feel connected to my body. It seemed like I couldn't talk to my uterus or vagina or anything down there anymore. But I knew sex felt good logically in my head. I just knew sleep sounded better. The first time we tried was slow and too painful. Determined, I wrote vagina exercises on my to-do list. Every day when my baby napped, I'd find a way to self-pleasure. I made sure to slowly explore internally until I found the sensitive parts, then massaging it out. It took a couple weeks, but we were able to have sex again and felt good, and it's gotten so much better since then. Finally, at 4 months, I feel as though I can identify as mom, but also as myself, my old sexual self, and I feel like I've retrained my libido. So thank you for the podcast so other mamas out there can regain their sexy. I love that. That's so sweet.
I did get a few text messages from my mama friends about this podcast. I'm not on it, but they were like, oh my God, that was an amazing episode. Wish you were on it, but it was so good.
Dana's awesome.
Yeah. So that was really awesome. And we definitely need to, I think, also tap into our mamas out there. So that's
mamas,
great.
Yeah, go check it out if you haven't listened to us, the Satisfied Mama episode that was done right before Mother's Day. Okay, so I have a sex question as well. We're going to get in the podcast, but I have a sex question that I would like to read from an anonymous listener. Chip, are you ready?
I'm totally ready.
So from an anonymous listener, they are asking, I have been with my boyfriend for about 1 year, and recently I've become stressed out about what girls he may be looking at on social media. I haven't talked to him about this because I know that it's irrational. We have had one breach in trust 6 months ago that involves social media, but since then he has given me no reasons to distrust him, and we put a large emphasis on communicating and being honest with each other. I know that porn and masturbation are a part of healthy lifestyle. I don't watch porn, but I do masturbate. But I can't stop feeling jealous and downing myself at potential things he may be looking up. Any suggestions on how to get over this? Because I know it's not healthy.
I'm not sure if this person is going through his phone, which I would believe wouldn't be the best idea. You have to honor each other's privacy.
Curious. Yes. Let's talk about that first. So let's talk about that. Okay. So here's the thing. You can go walk out down the street in a sexy outfit and all kinds of people can look at you and want to fuck you. And you can even have thoughts about wanting to fuck them, but it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like if my partner's like, you know, you better not go walk down the street in that sexy outfit because I know how men think, which I have heard men say those comments before.
Yeah,
I
me
have
too.
Friends who have partners who say things like that. Then automatically I'm like, okay, that's great. And I actually kind of like the idea that if I walk around, some people think I'm sexy. That's kind of awesome for me. But how does that affect our relationship? And you know, am I going to go and do you trust me? Cause it's really about that. It's the trust between us. And this person is saying that there has been a little bit of a breach of trust related to an Instagram-y or online thing. So my suggestion here is, you know, jealousy and a lot of the insecurities that come up, they can be irrational, and they're also, it's not helpful to discredit them entirely and just try to be like, this is ridiculous that I feel this way. But also to not give it so much energy that it runs the show. And so these are just things to bring to your partner to talk about instead of carrying and driving yourself crazy over this. And maybe this person, I'm not calling you crazy, but maybe it sounds like you're kind of stressed out about it. So I suggest talking to your partner and not telling them exactly what to do. You don't go to someone and say, you're not allowed to go on Instagram. You're not allowed to look at other profiles. That's not going to be helpful. They're going to feel controlled and like they don't have freedom. But if you go and say, hey, I want to talk to you about something, a fear that I have, and it feels pretty irrational to me, and you really haven't done a lot that has given me reason to have these fears, but I have these fears and I just want to out them to you so I'm not carrying all of it and driving myself crazy. Maybe we can create a safe space where we can talk about our fears, you know, our insecurities and things. I have this fear that you're on Instagram looking at other women's profiles and that and I tell myself stories that you're wanting to date them or maybe you're contacting them and it's something that I'm going through. And you could even ask them too. You could say, is there any truth to that? Like, are, you know, the part about wanting to date them or whatever that is, but it's, it's really a matter of just communicating that and not trying to pretend like you don't have these things while not becoming them and giving them so much energy.
And if it's really important for you to be online looking at really beautiful things, check out omgs.com/shameless and get $5 off, and you can learn something in the process.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You are just so hilarious.
What if, okay, so my thing is, too, I know, I really do think, though, that some people are just addicted to looking at beautiful things online, really.
Totally.
And that's where this is coming from, because if it is so, it's a digital age. Yeah. People are in their screens, and it very well could be, to the benefit of this person's doubt, it could be just he's digitally intrigued by looking at Instagram and pretty people, models, whatever it is. And that could be a helpful suggestion. Communicate, as Amy's talking about, and say, this is something's come up for me, and I want to be vulnerable with you and share that I maybe have a little bit of jealousy going on. And then you could suggest too later on to be like, hey, what about looking at this together, and we can learn something, and it's interactive and fun.
Yes. And, so, and it's not just like a way to just look at vulvas. It's an educational thing. So here's what you could get out of it too, is like, hey, maybe you could look at this, we could look at this together, and then we can learn some techniques and try on my pussy.
So, because I'm sure that this person's probably trolling a little bit. We all have friends that are total Instagram trolls. I mean, that are like...
It's an addiction for a lot
of people.
It's a
serious addiction. Yeah. And if that's a thing, you can obsess and tell yourself a lot of stories and create this entire blown out thing that might not even be true. And it might be true. The thing is, you're in a relationship with this person, so figure out what boundaries are enough is enough for you. If that you're not comfortable with the amount of time he's spending on social media, or the amount of, I don't know, cis women he's found. I have no idea what the actual hangup is, because you weren't very clear on exactly what it is, but I'm assuming it's just some jealousy stuff, which is hard.
Yeah, and jealousy is normal, right? It's everyone, even like your most poly open people, they'll experience at least little bits of jealousy, maybe a lot of jealousy. It's what we do with it. It's how we tend to it and how we react to it. And it's when we try to hide it and pretend like all is well, when it's not really feeling that way, it can make things more challenging. And I just want to throw this out there to this person, the things that they said about, because they said porn, but they weren't directly talking about porn. But it seems like the idea of having your partner just look at other women freaks you out and brings up a feeling in you that you're not enough. And that's what they're probably saying is this irrational thing. And it becomes a very limiting world when people feel like they can't even look at other people. And I personally think it is, and this is what Sex at Dawn, that book, and what Wednesday Martin in her book Untrue, and so much research has shown, is that everyone's checking other people out. Yeah. Whether you're madly in love with your partner and you're having amazing sex, and people still look at other people, and it doesn't mean anything about the relationship. And to really, when you're starting to feel these things of like, oh my God, what if he's, you know, watching porn, and what if he's looking at Instagram and checking out these other women, to tell yourself, okay, it's not personal.
And ask yourself, what is this coming from? Most likely, if you're living out of fear, then you're going to get those very fearful reactions. So ask yourself the deeper questions of what are you afraid of? This has come up for me in my relationship, full blown. I have fear of losing my partner, not to someone better, to someone different, and having to rebuild once again what I've worked so hard and through so much hurt and heartache through my loss of my previous husband through divorce. And that is my fear. Although I know deep inside that I would be just fine, but that's my fear. And I voiced that to him before, and I've kind of put the jealousy on simmer, if not low. So I leave space for it. I leave room for it and know that it actually is okay. And I try to address it with him in a way that is vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it actually is really powerful.
Some people actually like the feeling of knowing that their partner's jealous of them. And I can't speak for everyone, but they're like, oh, wow, you really care. Yeah. You know, like, oh, wow, you actually care about me so much that you're scared of losing me. And so you can make jealousy hot. Mm-hmm. And it's like this feeling of like, I mean, I don't possess you. You're not, I don't own you. But like, I kind of have this fear thing that comes up that makes me kind of want to. And how can we make that hot? Like Kristen from Fun Factory would say it that way. How can you make it hot? This thing that's challenging, how can you actually turn it into a sexy thing?
Totally.
So yeah, go and have those hard conversations and tell, have different conversations with yourself when the stories come up about you not being enough. And I think it also speaks to deeper work for you, yeah, right? It's not just on your partner to stop looking at people. It's for you to probably do some work around finding more self-love and not needing someone to fill that void for you by just looking at you.
And ask yourself those hard questions, like, where is this coming from? Go deeper, as Amy said, go deeper into the root of where that's coming from.
Go deeper into the pussy.
Yeah.
What you call it? The 360 tunnel.
360 of the tunnel pussy. Yeah. Of the vaginal canal.
Yes. This episode, I tell you, it's a great one. And we didn't talk about OMGS with her, and OMGS doesn't do anything about mouths on pussies yet. I'm sure that they will. But as we talked about before, I'll just add one last piece to that. Their season 2 should be out now, and that is internal stimulation. Super exciting. If you want to learn more techniques, I'm going to leave it at that. Go to omgs.com/shameless and you'll learn more.
$5 off. One last thing before we read Allison's bio, because it's a short one, and I just want to talk about Margins Wine. Not too much, just because you go on and marginswine.com and check it out for yourself. We love it for a reason. So go to marginswine.com, get the newsletter, get in the news.
Of some delicious wine. All right, everyone. Dr. Allison Ash is a sex and intimacy coach and educator who helps her clients radically explore and courageously express themselves. Allie designs workshops and offers individuals and couples coaching to give others the tools to develop their desires and confidently pursue them. She invites you to turn on pleasure, intimacy, and love at turnon.love. Are you ready?
I am.
Was that not one of my better bios?
That was great. I was waiting for you to say www.
Okay, here we go. All right, everyone. It is episode time. This is a return guest, Dr. Allison Ash. I don't know the episode number, but did an episode on how to be an intuitive lover. And we loved recording with her so much that we are having her back. And actually, we talked about this when we were with her last time, because the title of this episode/workshop that she teaches is phenomenal. How to eat pussy like a champ. So I'm sure a lot of you are listening to this. You specifically saw that and you're like, I need to listen to that episode. Well, you made the right choice. So here we are with Dr. Allison Ash, Allie Ash. Happy to have you back on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. April has a tiny puppy on her lap, just so you all can get a feel for what's happening. She got a new dog. Its name is Legend, AKA Winston.
He looks like a Muppet slash he is also considered to be a stuffed animal in some countries.
Happy Mother's Day, April.
Thank you.
Late Mother's Day.
Thank you, Amy.
So Dr. Allison Ash, can I call you Allie?
Sure.
Okay. So Allie, what led you to teach a top-selling workshop called How to Eat Pussy Like a Champ? I'm sure there's a story in there.
There is, in fact. How to Eat Pussy Like a Champ is a porn that is available on the internet. And it's a sex ed porn, meaning that they are trying to teach you something around sex education in the porn. And there's four educators. And the first one is Nina Hartley. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her body of work. Yeah, she's incredible. And she taught me more about my pussy than anybody ever had. I became a better masturbator from watching her on this. And then there were three men who followed, and they just really didn't hold a candle to what she was teaching me. And one of them, in fact, is Ron Jeremy. And so I highly recommend, if you're listening and you watch How to Eat Pussy Like a Champ, the porn, just fast forward through that section. But Nina was so inspiring to me that I had this fantasy of what it would be like to create a workshop that was led by queer women who had the insider-outsider perspective to champ quality pussy eating, meaning that we both love to receive it and love to give it, and how that unique perspective could really open up the topic in a way that I don't think it's been well addressed.
Mm-hmm. I teach, you know, orgasmic bliss 101, and part of it is how to pleasure a pussy with hands, mouth, and things. And I also identify as painfully straight. It's so painful because it's so limiting. And I do feel that I'm like, you know, I'm teaching you about this. I've had my pussy in many a time, but I've actually never put my mouth on a pussy. I put hands on pussies, and there's part of it I'm like, okay, do I need to do that so I can actually feel like I'm more in alignment with what I teach? And I don't think I have to do every single thing that I talk about, but I do appreciate that you're coming from that perspective. I think there's something to be said about that. April's dog has a little cough right now. I love that. And so let's talk about eating pussy like a champ. You, in your workshop, talk about 5 central tenets of champ quality pussy eating. What are those?
Yeah. Well, the first one is that all pussies are different and a pussy might like different things at different times. So it's really honoring the fluidity of desire. And I talk about all of these different techniques you can use to figure out what any particular pussy might be wanting on any particular day. Because I know, at least for myself, what I want today is not necessarily the same thing that I wanted yesterday or will want tomorrow. And also, I really like naming this because I think it takes the pressure off of the giver to have to know what every single person they're pleasuring wants. Because I think that it's a fallacy to assume that because you've eaten X number of pussies, you will know what the next pussy wants. Mm-hmm. And so one technique that I offer that I do pretty much every time I'm pleasuring a pussy is something I call the ruler.
The wooer.
The ruler.
A ruler. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. What's this?
So the way that the ruler works is if and when a pussy is ready for penetration, you would put 1 or 2 fingers slowly and deeply inside the pussy, making sure that there's enough lubrication. And you slowly pull out along the top of the pussy. So 12 o'clock, if the pussy is a clock, towards the pubic bone. And you allow the receiver to say, ooh, there. Ooh, there. And the receiver is identifying for the giver which spots are most sensitive on that day. Because sometimes somebody wants it more shallow around the entrance, or maybe they want it around the G spot, or maybe they want deeper stimulation around the cervix. And oftentimes where somebody wants stimulation will change throughout the course of a pussy eating session, because as the pussy gets more and more turned on, things shift and move. For example, the cervix will distend into the vaginal canal, making it more accessible, which can make stimulation of the cervix feel more pleasurable when there's more turn on. And so this is a great technique to just also encourage communication and have the receiver start to realize that their role is an active one, not just a passive one.
So I noticed that you said when the pussy is ready or wanting penetration, I'm curious if you can elaborate on that more. Yes, we know communication, of course, but what is your advice for someone to know when is their own pussy ready, or how do they know that their pussy wants more, and how does a giver know?
Yeah, well, you just really set me up for the second tenet, which is communication plus co-exploration create pleasure loops. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to sneak the answer to your question in here. I think that because every pussy is different, there is no hard, fast rule. The next tenet is slow it down. I'll just tell you what they are so that you can see where I'm heading. The fourth one is know how and when to ramp it up. And the fifth one is mix it up. So in slow it down, in know how and when to ramp it up, I talk a lot about how to ground, connect, affirm, tease, all the different kinds of foreplay that you can use, how to turn the brain on so that you can stimulate the internal clitoris, all the different hand moves and tongue moves. So I just can give you a whole array of what you could put in your sexual repertoire. But in terms of knowing, it's about attunement. It's about, which we talked a lot about in how to be an intuitive lover, and asking. And so oftentimes when I'm pleasuring a pussy, I'll start with, once I've done kind of the foreplay and I'm ready to focus on the pussy, I'll start by massaging, because massage brings a lot of blood flow to the area. So a little bit of anatomy for the listeners out there, the clitoris is on average about 5 inches long. And most of that is internal. Most of it's inside the body, and it wraps around the entire length of the vaginal canal, such that every time somebody is being penetrated, it's actually stimulating the internal part of the clitoris. And so I think that a champ quality pussy eating session is one in which the internal clitoris is really getting stimulated, and that happens through blood flow. So when blood flows to the pussy because somebody is turned on, that creates pressure and pulsates the internal clitoris, which I don't know if you've ever had that throbbing feeling. I call it female blue balls. It's like, oh, I just need to get fucked. Yeah, that's your internal clitoris being stimulated by your own body. And so turning the brain on is a really helpful way to create blood flow to the area, as is massage. Any good massage therapist will tell you that. So I'm often massaging the thighs, the hips, the butt, the outer labia, the inner labia. I think that not very many people are massaging the labia, and that can feel quite good. Mm-hmm. And often pleasuring with lube or with saliva and my tongue until I'm noticing that the pussy is producing enough self-lubrication, enough wetness, that that's kind of often an indication that maybe penetration might be something that could be on the table soon. Though that's also not a hard and fast rule, because there's so many factors like age and biological factors and hydration that can impact how wet somebody might be.
This is the reason why we love our lubricant, because you never know. And there's the thing, like, yes, when someone is aroused, that may lead to more lubrication. And like you're saying, there's so many other factors at play that they could be super aroused and not have the lubrication. And so there's that arousal non-concordance when the body is not necessarily perfectly resembling what the arousal experience is. And it usually doesn't, as is the case with erections. They happen just for no reason sometimes. And this is why, everyone, we love Uber Lube. We talk about it all the time, but it's one of our favorite lubricants. And it's also great for pussy eating because it has no flavor and no scent. So it feels kind of like natural on the skin, stays really silky, never gets sticky. It's long lasting, no flavor, no scent. And a little bit goes a long way. If you haven't tried it, we recommend it. Go to uberlube.com. Use coupon code shamelesssex in all caps. You all get 10% off and free shipping. Shameless promotion for our favorite lubricant ever.
So Allison, I definitely am huge myself on oral, always have been. It actually, because I hadn't had a lot of partners in my 20s with, you know, the penis and vagina sex, or partners, even like cis women that I had hooked up with, I had had a lot of oral from different people. So I felt like a judge of what felt good to me and what didn't. So that's me though, personally. And I have so many friends that do not like oral. They're like, no way. I hate oral. I'm just like, get out. I don't want anybody down there. So my question to you is, I'm sure you have something to say to those pussy owners who either own up to not wanting oral, or something to say to them to maybe have them try it again. Do you have any advice for those folks?
Yeah, I have found that for many people who don't like giving or receiving oral sex, it's often because they find that they're stuck in their head and they're spinning out in their anxiety and their concern. So for people who are receiving pussy eating, it might be, what do I smell like, taste like, look like? Am I taking too long? Is this person bored? And it's such an experience of insecurity that it becomes an experience of enduring, and who in their right mind would enjoy that? And I talk about pleasure loops in with regards to pussy eating, because I think what can happen is if the giver feels like they're supposed to know what the receiver wants, and the receiver is in their head worried about what they smell, look like, taste like, etc., the giver is going to assume, because they're going to be able to feel there's some disconnection there, the giver is going to assume it's because they're not doing a good job. And the receiver is going to assume it's because they do smell bad, look bad, taste bad, whatever it is. And then they're going to both get more and more disconnected and go into a deeper state of enduring. And so I think the alternative is to start to have the receivers be more active, indicating what they enjoy with their body motion and with their sounds and or words, having the givers really ground, connect, and affirm. And I just cannot tell you how healing of an experience it was for me the first time I had a lover look at my pussy with awe and appreciation and adoration and just smell me and taste me and delight in the senses of being with my pussy, it just helped remove so much of the shame that I had for my pussy, my beautiful, glorious pussy, because we've grown up in a society that, I mean, I have this memory in eighth grade of this guy walking down the hallway telling all the women to close our legs because it smelled like fish in the hall. Oh. Right? And like, I think that there's so many people that have experiences like that of being shamed for pussies as being gross, air quotes, right? And so what I have to say is that it's not just on receivers to do some type of mental gymnastics to make sure that they're going to like it again. I think it's very much also on givers to help receivers know how excited they are to be pleasuring, how much they enjoy it, how wonderful it is to have their partner receive, that they're enjoying giving simply for the sake of giving. Telling, and don't tell any lies, because people who are hypervigilant will sense that BS right through it. But find, what do you appreciate about the pussy? What is appealing to the senses? Maybe it's the velvety way it feels. Maybe it's the color. Maybe it's how it glistens with wetness or with the lube. And emphasize that so that the receiver can get out of their head and get into their body. So that's from the giving perspective. And then from the receiver's perspective, I would say, doing different kinds of embodiment practices so that you can learn how to start focusing on the sensations in your body and tune out some of that mental chatter is a really helpful thing, I think, for sex generally, but particularly for something that's as vulnerable as receiving oral sex.
The whole, we've talked about this many times before, is a statement for, especially for the giver, saying, I could do this all day, or you have the best pussy, because for me, my personal law, you know, love language is words of affirmation. And I love to be told that. It just turns me on. And I think that's a simple one. I do really love when you talked about the glistening of the pussy, or kind of talking about what you're observing right then and there. That's really embodied. That's like a really great practice to have. And if you can't come up with anything right then, I like the, I could do this all day, or the, you have the best pussy ever. But I do think that getting out of your head, I mean, there's been times where I know that I've had a giver doing, I swear they were doing the ABCs, and I was like, please, like, why? So communication sometimes can be hard, especially if that person, you can kind of feel their efforts, and you don't want to say anything mean or downplay your lack of enjoyment either, because if you're not enjoying it, it's not going to be fun for either of you. So I don't know, is there any way to kind of ease into that communication to be like, hey, you're doing the ABCs?
Maybe don't call. Are you doing the ABCs again?
Are you having alphabet soup down there?
Well, yeah. And I think it's also just important to note that part of the problem is how men and women are socialized in our society, because men are socialized to believe that part of masculinity means that you're supposed to be competent at everything, especially sex. And so they don't stop to ask for directions, because somehow that would imply that they're less manly. And women are socialized to be emotional caretakers. And so oftentimes in heterodynamics, what they're doing is they're prioritizing their partner's emotional well-being over their own pleasure, because they don't want to ask what they want, because they don't want him to feel criticized. And so I think that if we can just embody a same team mentality and realize, if the receiver can realize that most givers love being told what the receiver likes, because it allows the giver to get out of their head and just enjoy giving. And when I can tell that somebody is really efforting when they're pleasuring me, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll just like reach for a moment of connection. Maybe it might be like, can we just kiss for a moment? Or, that feels really good right there. Can you try this? I love the, I'm curious what it would feel like if, and could you try this? Because then the receiver doesn't have to love it. They can just say, let's experiment and try it. And then they can be like, nah, go back, or maybe this instead. And it keeps the discourse really open, as though this is like a co-exploration that we're engaging in together.
Can you focus on quarter after 12, please?
You know, I often
spot.
My favorite metaphor for the pussy, for those of you that have ever been to Burning Man, I often describe the vaginal canal like the playa, where the entrance to the vaginal canal is Esplanade. And as you go deeper into the canal, you're going from like A Street to whatever L, maybe the cervix is at L. And the top of the pussy is 12 o'clock. So if you're putting your fingers in and going up towards the pubic bone or the G spot, that's 12 o'clock. And if you're going down towards the anus, that's 6 o'clock. And so rather than just the ruler that I referenced earlier, where you're only playing along the 12 o'clock spectrum, what is it like if you actually discover and explore the vaginal cavity as a 360 tunnel, right? As a depth and as all the way around. And I think that one thing that can be really powerful to help receivers expand their capacity for pleasure is to learn how to differentiate between places, different places in their pussy that they can receive sensation. And so part of that can happen through a massage that's not even necessarily geared towards orgasm, but is more geared towards, let's discover every inch of you and figure out what feels good and what kind of pressure you like and what kind of speed you like. And have you ever been touched here? And the first few times this happened to me, I would have to say, where are you touching me right now? Can you tell me? Because I didn't yet have that mental awareness to be able to know myself so intimately. And now, through enough of this, I can feel it on so many different parts of my pussy, which helps me actually activate different neurological pathways that encompass different parts of the pussy that allow me to have categorically different kinds of orgasms.
Oh, and we're going to get to these different types of orgasms soon, everyone. Now they're like, wait, what? There's different types of orgasms? Mm-hmm. So I want to maybe finish covering before we dive into the orgasms. It sounds so nice diving in orgasms. finish the other pieces that you're speaking to, because we covered three of the tenets now, right?
We've talked about, every pussy is different. Uh-huh. We've talked about how to have pleasure loops through communication and co-exploring, slowing it down. That's really that affirming the pussy, helping the receiver know how much you're into giving. I always say pussies need permission to relax and know it'll last. Mm-hmm. So my favorite sentence to hear is, let's see who has to tap out first.
Oh. Competition. I love that.
Yeah, because then it's like my pleasure. Like, I'm a very competitive person, but then it's like, oh, that means I win if my pleasure is too big. Yes. Like, I want that permission to just let my pleasure be as big as it can be, because the number one factor that is most likely to determine how much pleasure I have when receiving pussy eating is how much I can tell that the giver is a loving giving. Because then I don't have to worry about them and I can just focus on receiving, and I don't have to subconsciously dampen my pleasure because I'm worried it's too much for them or I want too much.
Also, I have a thing that, so for me, a couple of my first couple oral sex experiences, I'm sorry, not oral sex, but first a couple of my sexual experiences that involved touching of genitals, like the first four maybe, did not involve anyone going down on my pussy, nor did it involve me asking for it. And then when people started to go down my pussy, it often felt ticklish, and I had like a ticklish, squeamish kind of thing that would come about. And my guess is that it's just not relaxed. It just feels like that's what any part of my body, when it's touched in a way where my body's not ready for it, it can feel, it's overwhelming in a way. So would that apply to this category, what you're talking about? If someone were to say that, hey, when people go down on me, it feels kind of ticklish and squeamish, would you say that it's often the pacing is maybe a little too fast?
Oftentimes pacing is a really big thing, because what we want is that blood flow to rush to the pussy. When people are self-lubricating, the reason why they're self-lubricating is because blood flows to the pussy and blood plasma seeps through the vaginal walls. Mm-hmm. And so what we're wanting to do is give somebody enough time to be turned on that their body is responding, whether they're self-lubricating or not. That's one thing that happens. Their labia becomes darker, their clit will get swollen, their cervix will start to distend into the vaginal canal. All of these biological changes start happening that make somebody ready to receive penetration or just any kind of stimulation and sensation and pleasure play. And so oftentimes tickling is an activation of the sympathetic part of the nervous system, and it's a lack of relaxation and grounding in the parasympathetic. And so one thing that I'll do if I notice that somebody's feeling a little ticklish is I'll put my hand over the mound of their pussy, and I'll just kind of hold it. I'll cup it and I'll hold it, and maybe I'll breathe with them, or I'll put one hand on their pussy like that and one hand on their heart. Or I'll just like stroke their hair and come back up to their face and kiss and kind of connect on a more eye contact level. That can also create a lot of safety. Mm-hmm. So things that can be really good for safety is breathing together, eye contact, and tender touches like stroking of the hair in the face. That kind
is
of
that thing. A pussy hug when you cup the hand?
It is a pussy hug.
I like those.
I like those too.
I think we can accredit Midori for that one. I think she calls it the pussy hug. I mean, a lot of people do, but she may be the first person to call it the pussy hug. I like that.
Great. I haven't heard it yet.
Give my pussy a hug. Okay, so we have slowness. Then the fourth one. What's the fourth one?
Know how and when to ramp it up. And so this would include all of the different hand movements and tug movements that are possible, because what happens, and I think this is particularly true for people who like to both give and receive oral pussy eating, is that I know for me in the very, beginning of my pussy eating explorations, I would do what I liked to have done to me. And oftentimes it's helpful to know what the full menu of options is so that you can actually see what the individual is wanting in that moment. And so, having a sense of, different ways that the tongue can move. And I would say that one thing that is important to note for being able to vary what you're doing with your tongue is if you're using the point of your tongue, the tip of your tongue versus the flat of your tongue. Because if you're using the tip of your tongue, it's going to feel more intense and powerful. And if you're using the flat of your tongue, it's going to feel softer and more soothing. Mm-hmm. And then with regards to your fingers, if you're crossing your fingers like you would do for saying good luck to somebody, and you're doing any kind of vaginal stimulation with your fingers crossed like that, that's also going to make it much more intense than if your fingers are side by side. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain things that you can do to moderate the intensity, but then also just having an understanding of what, the various moves are that are out there is really helpful, so that you know what the different things are to do and how to create diversity of sensation. Because I think that that's typically what people really like, is not when something is changing, bam, 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 and there's a lack of capacity to settle into something, but also not when it's just the same thing nonstop, because then you kind of get a little dull to it. Mm-hmm. And then remembering that when somebody says, don't stop, it means
don't stop.
Don't stop. Yeah. Most people go faster, harder, deeper. They're like, go, and they run for it as fast as they can. And then, that's a typical misstep that I see. Mm-hmm.
I've also noticed with my pussy, and I've heard this from a lot of other pussy owners, that and probably just genital owners in general, but I think I've heard some more vulva owners, that the sensation and the desire, if you're really following the thread, it can change so quickly. Like so quickly it can be like a little to the right, more pressure. Oh wait, no, that's too much. It's a finely tuned instrument that you're really playing and listening to. And part of that is embracing the constant shifts and changes and understanding that because someone's desire for a technique or pressure changes, that doesn't mean they're saying that you're doing it wrong or bad. It's just that that's what happens with bodies. If we're really listening, things change, and hopefully we're being vocal about that and doesn't mean anything bad.
This one time, I had this awesome, amazing hookup in Palm Springs with this other couple, and she, the woman in the relationship, was so good. She took me in the bathtub, and because it was such good pussy eating, and it was in a bathtub. I was bruised. My whole spine was bruised the next day for like a whole week, but it was really bad the next day. And I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, how could I teach my husband? Because at the time I was married, what she did. And I tried, and I just could not describe exactly how she applied pressure and where the tongue was. And I also realized it was super hot because of the moment and what we were experiencing. But I did watch some Nina Hartley videos on eating pussy, trying to mimic that whole situation. But when it's really good, you don't even know you're getting bruised. So there's something to work towards there. And I actually did go down on her as well, but I don't think I was doing as good of a job as she was. No, she didn't have any bruises. At least I didn't think so. Which brings me to a really good question. Safe or oral? Because I wasn't practicing safety at all during that experience. And I know there are methods for safety, and people don't realize that you can get STIs, you can get STDs, whether or not they're considered the same thing at this point, I'm not sure. However, I would love for you to share, because you are definitely very well keyed in this in an orchestra, if you will. So can you, on this instrument, can you share with our listeners, please, Allie? Thank you.
Yes. So the only thing that's safe sex is abstinence. So we talk about safer sex because all sex assumes some amount of risk. So it's just important to note that. Oral sex, we don't have the best data on risk of transmission, because if you think about it, it's not as common that people are having just oral sex and not penetrative sex. So we don't have the best data on rates of transmission, but you are absolutely correct that we can acquire STIs from oral sex. And the best things to do if you want to practice the safest oral sex is to use gloves, which are good barriers for your hands. And this will help if you have any open cuts or wounds in your hand. Also, as a side note, is really great if you have longer nails. And especially as a woman, when I'm pleasuring women, my nails are probably longer than they might be used to. And so I will wear gloves sometimes just simply to protect against scraping and scratching them with my nails. And then dental dams, which are a good measure. I will say this. I have found that dental dams are not a lot of fun because they're thick and they're a little powdery, and they're often a color that's hard to see through, and they're not very big. And what I tend to use, and it's an important caveat to say that this is not FDA approved, but what I will use is Saran Wrap. And it's really important that you don't get microwavable Saran Wrap, because it's microwavable because it has holes in it. Mm-hmm. And the same holes that let steam through will also let bacteria through. Mm-hmm. So get the non-microwavable Saran Wrap. And what I like about it is it's thinner, it's see-through, and you can get a much larger amount of it to cover a much wider area. And what I will do is I'll have the receiver hold the Saran Wrap on their stomach above their pubic bone. And then I'll use one of my hands to hold the bottom edge so that it's taut. Because the worst thing is when the Saran Wrap gets bunchy. And so if I'm, and I don't have four hands, I wish I did. So if I want one hand to penetrate and one hand to hold the bottom part of the Saran Wrap taut, I need the receiver to hold the top part of it. Mm-hmm. And then you can have the glove on the hand that's penetrating that's going underneath the Saran Wrap. And sometimes a little bit of lube between the pussy and the Saran Wrap can be really good. There's also something out there called Lorals, L-O-R-A-L-S, which is the world's first lingerie for oral sex. It's latex. You can penetrate through it, right through the underwear, and they're single use. I also don't know if it's FDA approved yet or not, but they're really a wonderful product. Mm.
Mm, yeah, I've never heard of those. Have you heard of those, Jip?
No, it sounds pretty amazing. So they look sexy and they're still safe, obviously. Yep. And the FDA, bless their hearts, but come on, you just pay them enough money and they'll approve anything at this point.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not listening. FDA, why are you listening to our podcast right now? Get back to your jobs. Okay, so what is the... Oh, another thing. One thing I wanted to say about the gloves, too. Another reason why gloves, I think, can be really helpful, or even all of these barriers, is if someone is really prone to bacterial infections like yeast infections or bladder infections, it is just less likely to transmit things that can cause those. So for the receiver, they can be helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Sexy black gloves that actually look really cool. Yeah.
Yes, I like the black gloves as well because I don't really particularly have a medical fetish. And so the black gloves feel distinct.
Mm-hmm. What is the fifth tenet of Champ quality pussy eating?
I love that you're keeping us on target.
I'm good at this.
You're so good at this. The last one is know how to mix it up. And so what I really like to talk about here is how to use toys and also how to incorporate anal pleasure as ways to mix it up because, and then also different kinds of escalation patterns so that you're not always going to first we kiss, then I play with your ear, then I kiss your stomach on the way down, and then I bite your left thigh and then your right, you know, so that it doesn't feel quite so predictable. And there are some really fun toys out there that I think work really well in conjunction with oral sex. I would say that having a G-spot stimulator, which is any kind of curved dildo, is an essential toy to have in your toolkit because for me, I know that my hands or my wrists will often tire, and I also am... have God's joke of the world's smallest hands. I can't even my own G-spot. Just, it's a cruel joke. And so having a G-spot stimulator is really helpful for that. And then also having something that can play with the clitoris. So you could just use your finger. But one thing that I really like is they have those small vibrating pads that you can put on the tip of your finger that work really well because they're kind of incognito and they don't get in the way. And either the receiver or the giver can have it on.
Allie, I'm going to send you Hot Octopus is coming out in July 2019. A finger vibe that's super sexy. You can wear it like a piece of jewelry. Fits almost all hand sizes, fingers. It's called the Digit. It's going to be out. It's so powerful. I would send you a sample right now, but it hasn't launched yet. But honestly, it's amazing. I have one for myself, so I couldn't send you a gently used one. Otherwise, I would. But but it's been so great for doggy style and for oral. So check that out, too, when it comes out for our listeners. It's not available yet, but it will be. So I think that's going to be a good one for you to recommend later, too.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for tuning me into that. Those are such great toys for oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we'll have it at Pure Pleasure.
Oh, yeah, you will.
We will have that. And we have all the other things, G-spot things. You can go to purepleasureshop.com. Y'all get 15% off coupon code shameless sex in all caps. That's it. That's it for plugs. That's it. That's all I got.
I'll get one at the end. So yes. You know, we'll round it out.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We have one more plug at the end.
And then I would say anal is another thing that you could think about. And I think that one of the biggest misconceptions when we talk about anal pleasure is that it has to include penetration. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes even just pleasuring the outside of the anus can feel really good. There are on average 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris, 4,000 in a penis, and 2,000 around the anus. And so it's, you know, maybe not the top two, but it shouldn't be missed, I think, in terms of at least a potentiality of a way of mixing it up. And the recommendation for incorporating anal is go slow, start small, lubrication, communication. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I just recorded an anal 101 episode with Charlie Glickman that I think is going on after this episode. So everyone stay tuned for that. He knows a lot about anal, and this is not an anal episode. So we're going to just leave you hanging on the anal department.
He's a qualified prostate pro.
He knows. Yeah. We did a prostate episode with him, but this one is anal. There's some prostate stuff in there too, but it's just all about the anal, and he's wonderful. Oh, okay. So last question before we have you tell our listeners more about how they can find you is the orgasm piece that you spoke to earlier, mm-hmm. The different types of orgasms that people can have from, because I think a lot of people might have only experienced just one type of orgasm, or they think there's only one way to have an orgasm from having their pussy eaten. So what is can you explain more about the diversity of orgasms?
Sure. There's some amazing research that's coming out these days about orgasms and how people have them, and They even have put people in MRIs and they have thought themselves to orgasm and their brain lights up in the same way as it does as if they're self-stimulating. When it comes to pleasuring the pussy, there are four main nerve pathways involved with orgasms on or in the pussy. And one of them, the vagus nerve, which happens when we have stimulation around the cervix and the deeper parts of the vaginal canal, doesn't even go through the spinal cord. So you could be a paraplegic and still have a vagus nerve orgasm, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. And what happens is that most people will have an external clitoral orgasm, and that's usually the pudendal and maybe the pelvic nerve that's involved with that. And then many people feel cached. They're like tapped out. They're overly sensitive. They don't really want more stimulation. And so what's happening is I like to think, and if there are any MDs out there, please apologize. My apologies if this analogy is a little crude, but I like to think of these nerve pathways as riverbeds that go from my pussy to my brain. And the more energy that I send along one of these nerve pathways, it deepens the riverbed. And it makes it easier to then continue to send energy along that nerve pathway. So if I'm very used to having an external clitoral orgasm, that means that my pudendal nerve pathway is going to be really well defined and formed and very easy or easier to send energy and thus orgasm to my brain along this nerve pathway. And so in order to increase your capacity for pleasure by having different kinds of orgasms, and one way to have multiple orgasms is by having orgasms in different parts of the pussy, is by learning how to stimulate other areas of the pussy where other nerve endings live. So G-spot is going to be more of your pelvic and maybe some hypogastric. When you get into the cervix, that's going to be more hypogastric and the vagus nerve. If you're doing anal stimulation, that's going to be more hypogastric nerve. And of course, it's not like clear cut, but when you're pleasuring, like for example, the pussy is a clock, is a 360 tunnel, right? Then you're actually going to be creating stimulation along more nerve endings that are going to allow you to have the opportunity to incorporate more of your body into your experience of pleasure and thus increase your capacity for pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I recommend to people that tend to have external clitoral orgasms and then not want to experience more pleasure is to put that orgasm on the shelf for a little while. You don't have to give it up forever, but to just see if you don't allow yourself to send pleasure to your brain in the way that you're used to, and you sit with maybe the frustration that might come up, it really helps having a patient lover who's not goal-oriented, removing orgasm as the goal. The goal now becomes exploration and self-discovery, or co-exploration. Then you're allowing yourself to reprioritize from getting off to seeing what other sensation is possible if I allow myself to marinate in the stimulation and the building of this experience rather than going for the sure thing.
I love that. And I, it reminded me of something I'm doing right now. You're not a sexological body worker, right? You haven't done that training. Okay. I'm doing my second session with River, who's up in the Bay Area, a vulva mapping session with River. I'm learning that by having my pussy touched in this way, that's a very healing way, but it's also for the means of me learning and healing. I'm seeing all the different areas that I have sensation that just aren't usually touched or that I override, and that there's so much available there when there is this slow exploration of, like you're saying, I like how you said this 360 clock tunnel. And we've only done external touch in the last session, the next session, if my body is ready and willing, we'll go and do some internal stuff and to see where there is sensation, where there isn't sensation, and rating it on, she does a -3 to 3, meaning, you know, 0 is not, it's numb or not a lot of sensation. -3 would be pain. And 3 would be, woo, lots of pleasure. And it's so interesting to see the diversity of where I have sensation, where I don't have a lot of sensation, and then also how quickly it changes. And I could imagine that by exploring these different areas, that there's so much possible. It's all connected, obviously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been really, really loving that. And I'm going to do one more shameless plug for that then, because I talked about this before, but if everyone wants to learn more about that work, go to River Drosera. That's DROSERA.life. They do some online sessions and they also see people in person. Have you ever done a vulva mapping session before?
I have, not in the Bay Area.
Okay. Yeah. Is powerful. We're at, in April, you're getting a vulva mapping session from Dolly on Thursday.
Tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah.
So that'll be my first experience. I'm open. I don't know what to experience. I have some trauma on my labia majora. And so I'm interested to explore and hopefully release some of that, because I don't think that I ever have, and it's pretty sensitive. So I'm really interested in that. But
I had some trauma on my cervix, and I really was able to work through that with this kind of work. And it's been really powerful. And I would just have to say one other thing about expanding capacity for pleasure is I know a lot of people with pussies out there that don't like cervical stimulation. Mm-hmm. And there's some research out there that says it takes on average about 45 minutes of stimulation before somebody is really ready to receive cervical stimulation. So if you're not liking cervical stimulation, it might just be that your pussy hasn't had adequate time to surrender and receive something so deep and intense and vulnerable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I'm learning about my pussy is, as I learn more and more, it needs a lot of time. It needs my whole body. It needs so much. I am not like a 5 minutes, you know, whatever, and then bury your face in my pussy. I am so beyond that. So if y'all have time, call me at 555. Just kidding. Don't call me.
Because our listeners, of course, will probably want to know how they can work with you. And if you have any upcoming workshops in the Bay Area, I know you also mentioned that you have something free as a gift for our listeners. So can you share all those things with us, please?
I sure can. So my website is turnon.love, and you can go there to find out all the workshops that I'm offering. I teach about 15 different workshops, and I'm continually rolling out new ones. Workshops will be going online this year as well. I also do coaching in person in the Bay Area, both in San Francisco and Oakland, as well as virtually. And so you can find out more about that on my site. And I have a free gift. So if you go to turnon.love/free gift, you'll get this PDF handout with 4 different handouts that are really useful, including a guide to my pussy, which is essentially a Mad Libs that you can fill out. So April, if you and I were lovers, and then what we would do is we would fill out each a version about your pussy, and we would fill out each a version about my pussy. And then we would compare the Mad Libs about your pussy and the Mad Libs about my pussy. So we could see like how much are we on the same page? And also maybe there are things that I don't even know about my pussy, and then we can explore and fill in the blanks together.
And that's so playful and fun. I love Mad Libs always. So I don't do enough of that. That's fun. Maybe we should just do it just to see what we get. Comparison. Oh yeah. Where do they get the free gift? I think you said it, but can you say it one more time?
Turnon.love/free gift.
Oh, wow. This was so great. I feel like I can probably be a champ at eating pussy. And Amy, although you don't want to eat pussy, maybe you can share this with people that eat yours.
Can I practice on you, Chip?
Oh, shit. Somebody tells me you're it. A champ quality receiver, even if.
April's really good at receiving.
Yes, I am. Well, I would love to have you back again. We absolutely just adore you. You and all the work you're doing. Congrats on all your successes and for being such an incredible asset to this planet and to pleasure seekers everywhere. So thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners that tune in every Tuesday for the Shameless Sex Podcast. We absolutely love you all. And we'll see you next Tuesday, folks. Ciao for now.
Bye, everyone.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.